pray to speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. That parable, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, is for me one of Jesus' most powerful. It makes its point with the briefest of simplicity. And it really hits home because I know that for someone in my role, the temptation to be a Pharisee is always lurking there. There's a fine line between conviction and dogmatism, and another fine line between being ethically fired up and sanctimoniously judgmental. Those of you who know my stock in trade stuff on social media will know that I routinely take a pop at dogmatic and judgmental Christianity. And that is founded in genuine convictions. One conviction is that our faith, our beliefs, are not straightforward or black and white. The mysteries and majesty of God mean that anything we say in human language is going to be partial, provisional, hopeful, more often the stuff of poetry than prose. That's why we call faith, faith. It can't be binary. Problem with binary is that if you're not on one, you're on zero. Too many times I've sat with students who've lost their sense of faith because the faith they had or were contemplating was too demandingly black and white. And part of the demand they experienced was in a Christian community which required a certain kind, strict kind of adherence. That image I found for the cover of the sheet, the pew sheet, captures it. Just think of that fist banging the Bible. We mustn't weaponize the Bible. We have to engage with it as a living source of limitless encouragement, guidance, challenge, truth, power. But when I say things like that, and I do believe them, passionately, I have to be really careful not to slide into dogmatism and sanctimoniousness myself, into an equal and opposite harsh line. It's too easy for distress at a damagingly hard-edged sort of Christianity to become hard-edged itself. And that way lies another version of Pharisaism. At the heart of this is the contrast between pride and humility. Pride exemplified in the self-righteous Pharisee, standing apart and aloof, head up, sneering. Humility exemplified in the tax collector, head bowed, looking into the dust, agonized. In classical Christian ethics, pride is the worst of sins. Lust and avarice might attract more attention and column inches, but pride is the worst because it puts me where God should be. It can sound very similar to vanity. Vanity, one of my besetting sins, can look like it's all about me or just look at me. But typically, such vanity is not founded in self-confident self-assertion. It's much more often founded in fear. Fear of what people might make of the real me, which can even shade into self-loathing. And that's where the falling short is. Not so much in presenting that exterior, that curated, possibly rather misleading exterior to the world, so much as in a lack of self-estimation, forgetting that I am deeply and unstoppably loved by God. Pride is very different. It does share with vanity that it's all about me shtick, but unlike vanity, the vaunting of the self goes much deeper. And if you know your tragedy, you know that such pride, hubris, eventually takes a tumble, sometimes a shocking tumble, when nemesis comes to call. the reality of things, and especially one's place in the reality of things, will make itself felt. Or as Jesus put it in the parable, the proud will be humbled. So amongst Christians, pride can make us dogmatic and judgmental, and that's true of all of us, whether we think we're progressive or more conservative or traditional. The antidote is humility. Humility recognizes what it is to be human. The clue's in the word, the root, the etymology of both words, the humus, the ground, the soil. As we hear every Ash Wednesday, as ash is smeared in a cross shape on our foreheads, remember you are dust, and to dust you shall return. That speaks of the ancient biblical pun, Adam, the name of the first human in our creation stories, simply means dust. Now, all this might be sounding a bit diminishing, but it really isn't. It's about honesty and stability and a shared endeavor. The honesty is not diminishing because it recognizes both our limitations and the limitless love of God for us. The stability is just having our feet on the ground, steadying ourselves, not doing an Icarus, trying to fly by our own devices. And the sharing implied by such humility is anything but diminishing. We are all made of the stuff of the earth, which is the stuff of God's creation, shot through with love and imagination and endless possibility. It's the stuff God himself shared in the person of Jesus, by becoming human. If we dare to relish this shared reality, we will be much better placed to live with ourselves and with other people. Remember the story of the woman caught in adultery? When the Pharisees are baiting Jesus, trying to get him to condemn the woman, which will mean she dies, he's just squatting on the ground, doodling in the dust. And people have endlessly speculated, you know, was he writing something? Was he drawing something? Maybe he was just reminding them and us of the stuff of which we're made. He was made of dust too, and just sat in it. But he shamed the Pharisees, the proud Pharisees, and they slunk off. But he offers the woman only uncondemning love and encouragement. Uncondemning love and encouragement, as he does us.